You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to What's Cooking in the 321. It has been, I think, the longest week in history, and I've made it here by the good graces of my brothers. I got my brothers with me today. I know you guys have all heard Keith on this radio doing the Keith and Kim rant many, many times, but today we're fortunate enough to have Kenny. Kenny came in from California.
Hello.
And we got Keith in from Michigan this time.
Hello, everybody.
In from Michigan this time. So I've got the brothers in the studio. Danny's going to chime in. Danny's got a mic on today, and we got the station manager on with us, and I'm going to thank you three, first of all, because it has been a tough week, and for helping me get through this week and getting me through the show. So, Kenny, tell everybody, we've all heard who Keith is, but tell everybody who you are, and, you know, obviously there's a lot of our friends from Detroit, from here. You know, I'm your biggest fan in the whole world, so, you know, they know that my brother's Led Zeppelin.
I'm your brother.
Yeah.
Would you like to know anything else?
Yeah. No, let's be that guest that I ask a question, and they go, yes. And then they sit there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we love that. Yes. That's when me and Danny start talking. And, Kenny left Detroit at, like, what, 18?
Not like, early 20s, 21 maybe.
And went in the music world. You were like, I think you were probably one of the probably busiest bar house band in, like, there was nothing else to do in Detroit, right?
No, sort of, not really, yeah.
Yeah.
We were playing sessions and doing commercials. And
yeah, but every commercial on the radio sounded like
commercials.
You know, I still hear Jimmy's Rustics in my head. And so Kenny's been in music forever since, let me tell you, they're much older than me, much, much older. So, you know, when I came in this world, he was already playing a guitar. And my whole life, that's all I remember. I went to sleep at night with Jeff Beck, Blow by Blow, playing in the background every night, I think, of my life.
That's a good life.
It's a good life. So let's tell our, and like I said, most of them that are listening probably know us because I've put it on here in Michigan, but tell everybody what you're up to these days.
These days, it's actually composing some stuff for, it's debatable. It's a German production company, but it's either going to be a pilot into a TV series, maybe a Netflix show, or they're going to do a movie. They haven't figured out what you're going to do, but we've already written the themes and all that kind of stuff. And because of COVID and everything, they haven't been able to do production, like going to filming and stuff, all during the whole COVID era. And then money gets funny, and it's a German production company, so, you know, there's a language barrier. And
this is the Hollywood thing,
like Big Bang Theory on a U-boat or something.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
For our young listeners, Kenny's done Rovi. Angry Birds,
Rovio.
Games. So what would you say you're most, like, famous for? What's the big thing? Is it movies?
Barbecue
riffs. Other movies?
I don't know.
TV jams?
It seems like the Spotify stuff is mostly related to game score, you know, video game scores.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because I don't play any video games. You know, I've only looked at Angry Birds once even.
So, and I mean, I've actually watched you set music to things where you're looking at a movie on a screen and you're setting it. So a person who has never played a video game, and I haven't, I've never seen you play a video game in your life. How do you just do that? Do you have to, like, you're obviously not watching a game, right?
Well, it depends. Games are different, but it's similar to doing it with like a movie or a TV show where the picture's not changing. Like it's, you know, a video game is always changing, like depending on what the player does.
Like the Angry Birds are Flying.
Yeah, and you know, if you shoot.
And I actually liked that game. I did. Yeah. And I even like it better knowing that that music is you.
You did a Grammy or something for that, didn't you? Huh? Nominated?
No, that was for something I did for an Emmy. For,
See, he's very humble, isn't he, Danny? An Emmy down the road.
It
doesn't matter. Yeah. I love that you're humble. I tell people that because I meet musicians
Whitney
here.
Houston sang on it, but she,
yeah, I mean, funniest story on the Emmy thing, because I had to go to the Emmy Awards show, that division, you know, because it's TV related. And so that was in Philadelphia. So they had some big party after the thing. And I'm sitting in there and everybody's in tuxedos and evening gowns and stuff. And in walk two dudes, like two Philly dudes, like, hey, what's going on here? And anyway, so guy asked me, like, what I won an Emmy for, and I said, well, I didn't win, I just got nominated. And I told him what I did, what piece of music. He goes, get out of here. What, you wrote that piece of music? I hate that music. I want to throw my shoe through the TV set every time that thing comes on.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So. Too funny.
Tell me about the Jerry Lewis movie, though. That was great. What, a Method Behind the Man?
So let me tell that, because Keith told me, and for those that don't know, Keith and Kenny, and then there's Kim. Keith and Kenny are twins, and Keith said to me, you might not know this, Kenny. Keith came back from California, and he said, I just had one of the best moments of my life.
That is true.
Yep.
You're going to choke
me up. And
he
said, you know, I'm sitting amongst all these, you know, whatever,
all
big
the
Hollywood
world's
players.
Best
yeah. And he said, he said, well, when your name came up on that screen and took up the whole screen and people were clapping for you, that it was his best moment.
I was sitting next to
and for you, you probably could have gave a crap.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he doesn't get out much.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know, because I'm approaching those things from a whole different thing. And the producer that actually filmed it, edited it, did all the interviews, everything, was a guy that I knew from doing commercials for Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And then I think Carsey Werner. I think I did a bunch of stuff for him for the Drew Carey show. And so I just kind of see it like...
like a job. It's a job.
Well, not necessarily a job, but it's also a relationship, because I was actually trying to help him out. This was the second documentary that he had done.
Yeah.
And they're all, you know, he does feature-length documentaries, so they're all at least like...
I apologize that your sister didn't even have... I didn't even care to see it.
Yeah.
But I would. I did get the picture of your name at the end of the screen.
Yeah. But the best thing is, I was in L.A. working, and he goes, hey, I got tickets to this thing that was at Paramount.
Yeah.
I go, okay, we get over there. And I'm looking, that they had all the lights just went out on the red carpet, and I'm walking up. I go, I think we're late. He goes, well, I don't know what was going on. It doesn't matter. We get in there, and I look, here's Garrett Morris, Woody Harrelson, Dane Cook, every comedian there is, from arguably all over the world, but all there.
And I love that that's how you are, though. Let me ask you, because you've been in all kinds of studios. You've seen all kinds of equipment. Look at our little vintage. This is like the vintage studio. This is a, you know, they don't make them like this anymore.
Yeah.
The modern studios look like a bedroom with, like, two box mics.
Well,
sort of weird.
Because
everybody's doing a podcast.
Because they're doing it from their garage.
So, if you notice, we've got the cameras up there because in fact, when we started, I was Scott's on the fifth. You know, he loves to be on film, but I always say I have a face for radio. You know, this is, and the other thing we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. Cars now aren't having AM radios in them even. They're taking the AM radios out of them. Now we're on FM. We're on a lot of stations. FM. I know. Yeah. I tell people FM 100.7, but we're also on what FM.
You're on 94.7. 99.9 and 100.7, those are the three FMs, and of course you're on AM 1510.
Wow. So
shouldn't there be like some AM 1510 while he's saying that?
Well, we need you to do that while he's doing that. That was good.
Yeah.
But you can hear us all over. Like literally, you can hit the WWBC, and so people can I know you've listened to the show many times from out of state and wherever you're at. Usually he has to sit in his car.
I have to sit in my van with no air conditioning, no power windows, no power anything, and on my AM radio.
Yeah, on his AM radio. There you go.
Yeah.
Does AM go farther or something? No. What's the big thing about having AM radio?
I think our AM is just basically kind of local area is what it is. It's not really out. I mean, like 100.7 is the beach area.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's where I tell everybody here. But now where you listen to, you listen on...
Radio Free Europe.
Radio Free. Do you listen on WWBC Listen?
I get it online. So.
Okay.
Yeah, you go through the app.
Yeah,
correct?
I go through the app.
And then also...
I got to find where to listen.
You can
get your laptop pretty soon.
You can actually go to WWBC and then you go to our...
You can just go to the app and it'll link you right
there. Like any time of the day, you can go on our time slot though and listen to the show.
Any time of the day.
You can listen to the show anytime. Late at night.
And you can learn about our sponsors.
That's right, my great sponsors. You're on a different time schedule. Of course, here we keep waking you at 5 in the morning, California time, because it's like, get up. Oh, wait, it's 5 o'clock. So let's talk food for a minute. What's cooking in the 3-2-1 with Kim, Keith, and Kenny today. So my favorite restaurant, really, that I've ever been to in my life, California, I think it's Texco.
Garden of Tosco.
Is it still there?
It is not. They actually, it still exists, but only for carry out and deliveries.
Wow.
That's weird.
It was a family run business and it was there for, we'd been going to it for at least 30 years. So it was there. I think it was
that's
there.
That's the place with the Maharaji dancers.
Let me tell you the best part of that is, first of all, there was no menus.
Yeah.
You come in and you like,
great
beef
margaritas.
Polo.
Yeah.
Like beef
great
polo pesky.
Yeah.
And great margaritas. But I always remember the guy like rolling his R's because he was very Mexican.
Yeah.
And
they had a spiel to the whole menu.
Yes.
Like, it was
they had the spiel
very...
to the whole menu. You just said, he would say in his way where the fish, beef, or chicken.
Yeah.
And then you would say beef. And then they brought you all the entrees. It was like 5 courses, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, by the time the actual main course gets there, it's you're kind of like put this in a bag because like
yeah.
And then there was always some dessert.
No, the cherry. Jerry always wanted to drink. The last course was cherry, like a cherry. Cherry sherry.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And but it was good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That and a banana cream dessert.
That's what I'm thinking.
Great place to eat. You've been there though, haven't you, Keith?
I used to be a busboy.
Because these guys used to look. The chicken is so fresh. I mean, the way they talked was just hilarious.
As if the chicken were born.
Sauce. It was like the chicken was born in the sauce. awesome food. And then there's a place though that you like. There's a
crazy
line
crab,
of,
maybe.
No, that shrimp place.
Oh yeah, Killer Shrimp.
Killer Shrimp.
Yeah, that's in Marina Del Rey.
Marina Del Rey.
Well, it used to be one in Studio City, right where we live.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, That one, they closed that one, and then, I don't know, Jerry and I went down to the one in the marina, maybe for a birthday or something in June.
So this place, when you go there, you get, first of all, there's a line around the building. There used to be. I don't know if there still is.
That's why I wanted to change your restaurant on the beach to it one time.
And I thought about that, but things that work, other places don't work here. But
I would think Killer Shrimp would work
here. I would think so, too, because I'll talk about our sponsor in a minute. Maybe I can get my sponsor to do that. You literally, there was two things on the menu. It was like with a bread bowl or like you got a big bowl of, it looked like soup. And
it was sauce or like pasta
thrown
stuff.
And a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Yeah. I think it was probably like $30.
No, it was like 16, 18.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, I was there for lunch. I didn't already
But
dinner.
So tasty.
Yeah, you stayed
tastiest
right across
stuff
from
ever.
It, so.
So our sponsor, Melbourne Seafood Station.
Oh, yeah.
Pays for us so that we can come on here and hang out together and chit chat and I like to think that they are the best value for your money when it comes to seafood here in our Brevard city,
county,
all of Brevard County. I don't care. You can find one near you, Brevard Seafood Station. I'm going to tell you what their specials are in just a few minutes, but we should get them to do that killer shrimp. That would be a great idea,
and I think
they could pull that up. It's a secret.
There is a secret to it. There is.
Yeah, I mean, it has some Cajun something.
Yeah, but I've gone online. You know where they have that, where you can go on and sort of get somebody's recipe, copycat recipes.
Uh-huh.
So I think I'm pretty close.
Yeah. Jerry's tried making it. It's not. It's maybe
it's like
close,
secret sauce. It's, you yeah. can make it, but it's never the same.
Yeah, but I'm a great barbecuer. We can do this. I just need a little bit of that sauce. We can clone.
Yeah.
Listen to you. You just had dry rubbed wings with no sauce last night. He says, I never put sauce on anything. I go,
I don't. We went to Bunkie's last night. I ate it the other day. Kenny and I ate at our Alligator Reef, who's been on the show a couple times.
Uh-huh.
You ate there.
Yep.
I had to tell you, we had a burger, chicken Caesar salad, and it was good. It was really good.
Did you have the Sunrise Burger? I think that's what it is, with the egg on it.
No, I'm not doing that egg on my burger thing. Is that what you had?
That's what I had, and it was so
double protein.
So I'm so shocked that you haven't been there, because you like to hit all of the restaurants here when you're in town.
I do.
You have not been to Alligator Reef.
Because
it was quite
pleasant.
It was very beachy looking.
How long has it been there, though?
It's that Mediterranean place that they closed during COVID and then reopened as Alligator Reef. And I don't mind giving a shout out to Dave Hall, who owns it, who we went to Monkey Bar last night and got a pizza from him.
Yep.
But that's one of his places.
Yep.
He used to have where Bunkie's is.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So so we know everybody that's there.
I love your buddy with the pizza, the place we hit last time.
Yeah.
That was great.
Oh, FM Pizza. Yeah. Awesome.
Great.
That's the best pizza, Keith. You think Bizarro's is the best?
No, I think that's good to go to sit down.
Very good. But speaking of that pizza thing, the FM pizza, what was that we had? Margarita pizza.
Margarita.
And then we went over to the Lord's Library,
which was
the coolest place. That's Keith Kenny. You go into
library.
The library. You pick. You find the daily.
First of all, you have to get online and find out what is the book
like,
of the week.
Well, first you got to find a place because it's in like a back alley.
Yeah, you don't even know what's here.
It's like going into one of the old like Detroit after hours clubs
it's
or
like
something.
A Twilight Zone episode. Literally, yeah. You walk in and you go like, where?
And
am
you look
I?
At you walk into this little room
and
now
lady's
you're
dressed
feeling
up like a librarian.
Yeah.
And you're feeling like you're in the game of Clue. It's like you're looking for Mr. Green and Colonel Mustard. And
by the way, if you don't know the book of the week, she'll give you the author. That's the clue. And you go, there's 10,000 books. and I says, where's the Dewey Decimal System? I'll have to find
that. That's what I said. I go, what's
it? I use that to find
I'm
a
like,
good
what's
data.
What's that Dewey Decimal
anyway,
System? So then you find the book, and then the wall opens up. And you fall
and
into
then,
like
then
the
you're into
speakeasy,
a speakeasy
bar.
Yeah.
Which was,
and it was
awesome. Which was very cool.
Coolest place I've been to in a long time.
Why don't you take me to that place last night instead of.
So, and it's small. Like, this is bigger than it.
It's small.
Yeah, it's very small. Excellent drinks, because I don't drink alcohol.
I love that place. I thought
that was
fantastic.
Like, I think I had fresh cucumber and fresh, like, veggies in my drink.
Yeah.
And they muddled it all.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful thing.
That's still vegan.
We were just talking about that, this whole gluten-free thing.
Oh.
It's out of hand. Let me just go back. I don't even want to talk about the gluten. I'm sort of sick of people telling me they're gluten-free because I don't have celiac disease. If you don't have celiac disease, don't come in a restaurant and say, just order something and say, I really don't want gluten, because I can appreciate that you don't want gluten. Don't tell me you can't have it, though.
Cause I then usually I, ask for extra gluten.
Then I got to go next door and get your food, you know? See, and you keep getting me off my train of thought, which never happens.
Yeah,
I pride myself at only twice.
Let's go back to that stupid dry rub you made me eat last night.
That's right. Let's go back to that dry rub. You know, we had the same thing at that barbecue place across the street, dry rub, because I cannot stand barbecue sauce.
Oh, yeah, you're like half hillbilly in you. I don't know.
I'm
how
not
you can
half hillbilly. One time Dad said that
you
to me.
You don't like barbecue sauce?
What's that?
You don't like barbecue
sauce? No, I do not. I hate barbecue sauce.
Jerry doesn't like barbecue. That's just sacrilegious.
I can't stand it. I like ketchup a little bit, but no, I cannot do barbecue sauce. So, no, what I wanted to talk about, though, is while we were at Alligator Reef, people, you know, in fact, I've made people so angry on this station that they've now banned me from Facebook. So if you're trying to reach us on my Facebook page, forget that, okay, because this whole tipping thing and talking to servers, obviously I've done something wrong. And so if you're trying to get a hold of me, I'm going to put it out there. Get your pens ready. 321-437-1567. Send me that text. Let me know you're listening. Send me your questions. We will absolutely address them on the air. But going back to Alligator Reef, the people that our server was most generous of talking to us about tips, they said that they, on an average, always made at least $50 an hour. Okay? So
with
this
salary and everything.
Huh?
Talking about with their wages and everything.
No, she was just talking about tips.
Just tips.
She makes, on an average, always more than $50 an hour. So I'm here to tell you, these servers are overpaid.
And
we've been having this discussion forever.
I'm thinking about applying there, to be honest with you.
So I say the same thing. The job to have nowadays with all this forced tipping. I mean, come on. I had to tip a Panera Bread. I said, hold on a second. I got a coffee. I'm filling my own coffee cup. I'm tipping for an empty coffee cup, okay? And I don't, you know, it's like, I can't tip yet. I don't know how I'm going to serve myself.
Well, next month you'll have to start cleaning the restrooms, too, while you're there.
Well, you can tip, but just tip yourself.
Yeah, tip myself.
Because you're doing it yourself.
Right. So, and I do say a lot of times when they put that tip, when I order, I'll go, let me wait till I see how my service is. I got to wait. It is out of hand. And people, okay, we were laughing about potlucks because Keith was saying he always just brings Rice Krispie treats.
No, Kenny said that. That was him, not me. Yeah. I never liked Rice Krispie treats.
I can't stand them things either.
I just love them.
Yeah. But the people are staying home. Even people who can way more afford to go out there and tip big, way more than I can, they're staying home, and it's starting to catch on, and people are doing these potlucks where they all show up at somebody's house every week. They bring a dish, and I've been to them myself, and I got to tell you, I enjoyed it.
I don't know, Kim.
We're going to start staying home.
I'll always have some friend where the cat jumps up on the counter, and I just go like, my alarm's going off back at the house. I'll see you guys
later.
Well,
and that's why we don't like that whole cottage law where people cook in their homes and then they take it over to a flea market and they sell it and whatever.
Yeah, so the lady that makes yellow cake at home.
You can't take them anywhere, Danny. You just can't take them anywhere.
Try this cake. We just got it in from the bakery.
So let's go back to California. How's the food out there?
Actually, I mean, I can't think of a place that probably has a better variety of food.
Than California?
Yeah, there's probably more restaurants here or in California than anywhere else.
And I loved living there. I loved the Galleria. Yeah. I used to love to go to the Galleria, Hamburger Hamlet, and that whole strip
Look
there.
Look at the Italian restaurant we used to go to there, a couple streets from your studio.
Yeah, that's gone now.
It's gone?
Yep.
I can't go back to L.A. anymore. Yeah. That's,
okay, but how's the tipping there? Because we've been talking tips for a long time in here.
Tipping's, I mean, it's pretty much the same. It's like, I don't know. I'm always at least a 20% tipper. Oh, yeah. So
okay, but even this was my point.
It does get ridiculous with, you know, like Panera and like, yeah, you're kind of wondering like, you know, at Starbucks or whatever, you know.
So if you and I, or you two, go out to eat, he orders a $300 bottle of wine. You order a $10 bottle of wine. Okay, you think he should tip $60 on his bottle, and you should tip $2 on yours.
Well,
when you've had the exact same, it was handed to you the exact same way.
Yeah, talking about the service. Though.
Service.
I mean, there's multiple ways of looking at that.
So I want to hear that. That's okay. What we want to hear.
So one way of looking at it is, yeah, it's the same service. You know, it should be, the tip should be the same on both items.
Correct.
But then on a more universal sort of thought process, it's like the person buying the $300 bottle of wine obviously is the person that's getting money, a lot of money. And the
I borrowed a few bucks for you.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So it's like it's them paying.
So it's that whole thing. If you can afford to order about a $300 bottle of wine, you shouldn't worry about the tip.
Right. And also, it's like, you know, money's about circulation. So the best thing for that person that is probably, you know, getting a lot of value out of society that they can afford a $300 bottle of wine, they should want to put more money into circulation because...
I agree.
We've never heard this view. This is a new view.
Because, you know, the economy is really run by the people buying products. And the waitresses and waiters and the chefs and everybody else, those are the people that are spending more proportion of their money out in society into the economy. The person that bought a $300 bottle of wine is not, you know...
This is a new view. I sort of like this.
Very
I have to stew. I have to stew on this one a while.
So
I don't know if I agree.
My standard 3% tip is what you're saying.
Huh?
Here goes my 3% tip. Going just went out the window.
So I'll be starting my new show next Monday here on 97.1. 97.1.
There you go. How many times have you done radio?
What's that?
How many times have you done radio?
Only a couple, two, three times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And not for a long time. But
is that from jail?
Actually, I've done a lot of like. On phone interviews
Really? What do they interview you for?
You know, the video game stuff.
Oh.
Which is hilarious because they'll ask us, like, so what's your favorite Transformer character? And I have no idea. It's like I'm Amorphous Decorum. You know, I'm just making up a name or something.
So I actually have a Comic-Con coming up. And let me tell you, they're very brightful. They're, the people are dressed. They come totally dressed.
And it's interesting to me.
Like, Pokichu or whoever it is. And it is a very, very
I go to a plumber's supply and the girl behind the counter, she just seems absolutely normal. And the one day she goes, I'm leaving today. I'm going to Comic-Con, flying to Chicago or New York or wherever she's going. And I go, do you get dressed up for that? She goes, let me show you a picture. I thought it was Wonder Woman.
Let me tell you, in the one in Orlando, huge. It's like a two-day event.
Yeah,
and they're
right.
They stay in costume like the whole time they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. They go all out. But I have to tell you, the music is good.
What's that?
The music is, something I would listen to in my car or anything. But I mean, music's great.
You know,
You're doing good work.
The music that, number one, I have a partner, Vince DiCola. Vince and I have been working together for like 30 years, but Vince has he's kind of famous for his Rocky IV score and the original Transformer animated movie. So there's just this fan base out from that kind of stuff. So that's why we get called to do all these, we don't go out looking for these video game scores to do, but.
Well, and I was quite impressed because I stalked you on whatever it is. It's like three letters. What is
IBM? IMDb.
IMDb. Yeah. And I couldn't believe how many people were following you listening to all these, to this music. I mean, you could actually download that. I'm like, seriously, 40,000 people?
I don't really. Yeah, I don't pay attention to it because most of the stuff.
Well, you got a lot of followers.
Yeah. I never released anything.
Yeah.
And, I think I was telling you the other day that they released that one video score that we did, I think in 2016, Rovio sold that to a Japanese company, I think, and then they released the soundtrack like back in January. And all of a sudden it's like, you know, I got friends of mine, you know, people that are in the music business going like, dude, have you checked your Spotify? you have a lot of followers. I don't know. That's a whole game. It doesn't make a difference.
Keith, what's new in the eating world in Detroit? You had a big shower last weekend.
Beautiful shower Sunday for my daughter getting married in May next year here.
Yeah, it's $300 a head. What do you get for $300? As a caterer, $300 a head is a lot.
I think it's a crazy amount. But everybody tells me, goes like, oh, we had ours at the Four Seasons. It's $550 a head.
I can't even imagine.
Even if I go to the finest restaurant, I don't spend $550 a head. How do you do that in a wedding?
I got married in 1980, and mom and dad spent $36,000 on
my
wedding.
That's a lot back then, though.
Yeah, but we had 380 people there.
True. Everything's gone up.
And you know what? They all showed up. That's the thing. Like, I think they invited 360 and 380.
Well, do a lot of weddings, Kim, but if you take the big scheme of things, now you actually have to have a wedding planner. You really do.
Oh, no, I hate wedding
because planners. Because the busy people today getting married, they can't do it all. There's not enough time in the day.
So I am a wedding planner. So I don't like to work with a wedding planner because I'm like, the one thing that gets messed up in a wedding is what the wedding planner did. Because when I do everything, I know it's getting done. And unless you're doing a $100,000 wedding, you do not need a wedding planner.
Yeah, but that's what these are
now. And the other thing, they take 10% minimum.
20?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, 10% minimum. So if you're doing a $100,000 wedding, they're making 10 grand.
Hey,
and I always say, for what? For them to tell me what to do, which I already know what to do.
You buy a 20% wedding. So if you buy a $300 bottle of wine, you can buy a 20% wedding planner.
So I'm all about, the reason I do the weddings I do is because I'm so sick of people getting ripped off by wedding planners.
I thought it was how good you cooked and everything. Too.
Because you see people book around when I have a day off.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody can place 2,000 chicken marcellas at the same time, and they all look exactly the same, like out of a picture, a food magazine, and they're all hot and everything else at the same time. I don't know how they do it. She does it all the time.
And
it's that good.
I can't go to the Melby where there's 75 people and get a warm dinner.
Unless it's a salad.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was hair in my salad.
Oh, that's what it was.
Twice. Yeah,
it just came out of the salon.
Literally, we talked about that on the show because I never bash restaurants, but at the same time, and I give them a chance to, you know, to call me before I tell the restaurant, because like, I'll say something about, like, you know, our favorite best restaurant in the world here, Cuisine. I gave them every chance to, before I said, I think it was a month, because people were literally going, what restaurant was that? Kenny, I want to tell you the story because I went out for my birthday.
Please, please, I'm waiting.
Yes, you want to hear it. You want to hear it. I went out for my birthday and myself, Sherry Tracy, we're sitting, the three of us in a, we're in a top-end restaurant. We ordered, I ordered sea bass. The two of them both ordered fillet, prime rib. Okay.
Bone in.
So,
anyway, why are you in a topless restaurant? I know.
So we wouldn't want him to do that. So Sherry, of course, she leaves. She's got to take like a 15-minute phone call, all right? So she's out. Now, before we've got those plates, you know, I'm allergic to seafood. So the first thing comes out is like a seafood crepe. Now I'm fighting with the server going, I assure you, I did not order a seafood crepe. I'm deathly allergic to seafood. There's no way I ordered a seafood crepe. I ordered the baked brie. No, you didn't. No. And then, like, Tracy's chiming in, who's also nice. We did. We ordered the brie, not the seafood. So he leaves, and he comes back. Okay, so now we've got the right app.
And we got crab.
But, yeah, that crab, no. All right.
This is for you, so, Mrs. Crab.
This has never happened to me in any restaurant ever. I've never even heard of it happening. Where, especially, you know, past COVID, everybody's being a little more germ conscious and what have you. But okay, so here's the three of us sitting. We all get our plates, but Sherry's outdoors. She's out there 15, maybe 20 minutes. Tracy starts eating her meal. She's ate a quarter of her prime rib, basically all of her mashed potatoes that were under, and she ate her broccolini. It had a broccolini. She ate her broccolini. So now Sherry comes in, cuts in her steak, and goes, oh man, this is rare. I don't like red. This definitely needs to go back. So the guy literally picked up the plate, took it back to the kitchen. He comes back out, like he just did a turnaround, comes back out, picks up Tracy's plate, and goes, you got the wrong plate, and puts Sherry's in front of her. And took Sherry's plate that was half eaten, I mean Tracy's plate that was half eaten, and puts it in front of Sherry. Now we're just all sort of sitting there, and I'm like,
you
sitting there
you're
going,
being punked.
Yeah, I'm thinking at this point, I got a seafood app, and now he's just put Tracy's half-eaten plate in front of Sherry. I'm seriously thinking I'm being punked. I'm looking around the room because my friend Char is playing violin around our heads. I'm looking around the room going, I'm definitely being punked here. I've got to be being punked. So the guy, I call him back over, and Sherry says, I don't have any mashed potatoes. I don't have any broccolini. And he goes, well, she ate it. Now I know I'm being punked, right? I'm like, I'm definitely being punked. At this point, I'm almost laughing. I'm like, this is hilarious. So finally, the chef comes out of the kitchen. You think to fix the thing, all right? He starts yelling at us. I was like, no way. And then he literally turns around to Sherry, because she ordered hers well done, and said, if you wanted shoe leather, you should have ordered shoe leather and went somewhere else, and literally reams her and walks away. But they never fixed the plates or anything. And this is like $300 for dinner. And I wasn't tipping on that $300, all right? But I just thought this whole time, I'm definitely being punked. This really is not happening. So that's how I spent my 60th birthday here in town. But
you'll be back for your 61st. For
so
sure.
I told this story on, but I didn't say I left out the cuisine. I'm not gonna trash the restaurant. I go, I'm giving that owner as fellow restaurant owner time to call me and say, you know what, that was the server's fault. I was having a bad night and I yelled at you. My brother, who's the maitre d' of your house, he was
busy,
rude to
whatever.
You too. Come back in and we'll make it up. But he never did. So then I just start going, remember when that time I ate it was like band camp. Remember that time I ate at band camp? You know, it was like, remember that time I ate at, you know, whatever, cuisine.
So why don't you challenge him to like a, you know, like a
cook-off.
Or even a dance off or something.
Yeah, dance off.
Dance off.
So I'm a burger person, though. I did hear they have the best burger. I think,
Well, I've been there many times. I've never had a burger.
Let me tell you, you had a bad time in there. You went in there alone.
Only because I went in on Valentine's Day as a single dude.
Okay, so this was a heartbreaking moment of your brother's because he had no date on Valentine's Day.
I was mortified, right?
Okay.
Actually, I think I was flying out later. But I went in there early before everything opened, and I always sit at the bar, and they had little reserve things. Well, when you go in to call ahead, it says, can I reserve a seat at the bar? Well, you can't reserve a seat at the bar. So, obviously, because Valentine's Day. So I get in there, but I was in there like at 5:30.
Right,
when
you were there early.
All I want to do is sit down and have a cocktail and an appetizer. And he says, we're booked solid. I go, okay, but I just want to, I'll be here like 30 minutes. I'm going to have an appetizer.
They told me you needed a date.
Yeah. They told me, it's Valentine's Day. You can't sit here by yourself. I go, well, I doubt if I'll ever come back and sit here by myself ever again. He didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't
and
care.
And when I'm in there, I'll tell you what, I've actually bought bottles of Don Julio 1942 that had them order it for me to come in there. And that's $200
right.
Wholesale to the provider.
What's happening to the world in food? I'm telling you. The Ember and Oak, which is upscale downtown, has a trailer, like food trailer, now in their dining room outside. Have you seen that?
I have not, but I remember going to the food fest and what Coco and where they won. They were the number one pick for everybody.
You know what? Everybody says that that's the best.
So speaking
have you
of
been
that,
there?
Is the charcuterie tray world
the charcuterie.
Gone away?
So it's not because in 2 weeks I'm doing an 8-foot by 8-foot charcuterie board.
A lot of crackers.
That's a lot. I'm not looking forward to that one. So I don't see the attraction in that. Now, in California, is that a big thing?
I'd have to know what a charcuterie board is.
It's what you and I had the other day because, we're getting these gift baskets and they always have that salami and cheese in it. Mm-hmm. Okay, and even us, we took it out. We made some salami and cheese crackers here at midnight. Having our own little charcuterie happening. Is that how you say it,
when people are just coming in and having a cocktail. But to me, it's not a dinner at all. I know some people can make it into a dinner. But
I mean, it sounds like ordering a giant Subway for, the Super Bowl.
Well, and they're uncured meats, first of all. So, and then the other thing is, first of all, you got to handle them to put them in that beautiful.
Yeah, but you have high quality cheeses and meats on it. It's not like you just got cold.
So here's the thing, though. You have to handle them to put them in. Let's just take this 8-foot by 8-foot. I either have to have 20 people setting this thing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or we're all handling them, putting them in, and that cheese is sitting out, getting like ick in that 2 hours it's going to take me to set that. Yeah.
8 foot by 8 foot?
8 foot by 8 foot.
How do you even reach into the middle?
I don't know. You got to go from the sides, 4 foot and 4 foot. With tongs, I don't know.
Yeah, but what are
you going to reach? How do you eat it?
You got the poor little lady from church in there. She's like 4 foot 4. She got tongs. You still can't only get. I can't get to the salami.
$20,000
party. Laddie, we're going to throw you into the middle there.
But. So my thing is, though, I don't really even care for them. They're uncured meats.
I don't mind. They're great with wine and
grapes.
Things before dinner.
You got everything
like
grapes. And this is 200 people, though, all like dodging in on this 8x8 table. I don't know. Well, I don't get it.
You make them little cocktail wieners that everybody loves. That's you just put them on another tray.
Danny, people laugh, but I do a lot of upscale catering and stuff like that. And I said, I don't care if I do beef Wellington, mini beef Wellington, whatever. They still go for the puff pastry and mini weenies.
Don't get it.
Yeah. You got that right, though.
I said, what do you think is
what's
the first
thing
to go? Yeah. Number one, it's the first thing to go. And they'll always look for more. You're like, you got any more? And I'm a little weenies. it's the first thing. I don't care, I was the head chef at the Vero Beach Country Club. We even did them there.
Wow.
So I have a lot of hors d'oeuvre parties coming back up. That sort of died out for a while, which I was really glad because hors d'oeuvres are $1 a piece. I don't care how you look at it. They're a dollar a piece.
I agree. So
when you go to an hors d'oeuvre party, and you go to many, I know, how many hors d'oeuvres do you eat?
Depends on if I had lunch or not.
Exactly. Okay, let's say you didn't have lunch.
But I stick with usually the shrimp cocktail.
I love the people that stand by the shrimp cocktail.
Because people are over there getting a crack with some cheese that's been out, like you said, for an hour and a half or two, and I know that shrimp cocktail's on ice. Yeah. I'm going for the shrimp.
Yeah, and that reminds me, like in Big, where if you remember, got mail. Do you remember like Tom Hanks with Meg Ryan, like scraping all of
the little corn thing, corn where he's.
Well, that was Big, but
that was Big.
If you remember in Tom Hanks, You Got Mail, where he's fighting with Meg Ryan and he's taking the garnish, which was all the caviar on the top, something, just scraping it off.
Yeah, right.
Putting it on her plate, and then she takes it and puts it back, going, that's a garnish. I'm telling you, things like that happen. It's pretty funny to sit and watch people, really, because they don't want they don't want you to see them. It's funny things they do with hors d'oeuvres. It's pretty funny. But I say the average person eats 7 to 8 hors d'oeuvres.
At a function, you mean?
Yeah,
that's
especially
right.
If you have the, if you have 5 different kinds, they'll eat at least one of each, and then they go back to their favorites. So they're eating 8 hors d'oeuvres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least the guys are, anyways.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody. Yeah, they're all eating. Yeah.
Or when you get some of them have those little meatballs. If they're really good.
Yeah, that's not an hors d'oeuvre to me, but okay.
Yeah, but they'll be hot, and they'll have something sauce with it, whatever. I love them because I don't ever make meatballs. I make a big meatball like Italian.
You're talking
pasta.
About Southern people. That's
little
when you tell me
like one inch
yes,
diameter.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like grape jelly and barbecue sauce in there. That's like the cheese. You might as well take them those Rice Krispie treats.
No.
To a party, if you're going to eat them little meatballs.
Yeah.
Might as well have the little wieners in the same sauce.
True.
Yeah. No, thank you. No.
That's good.
What?
Those are good.
See?
There's my point. You know, I was just fortunate enough to cook for, and I don't mind saying, I won't say his name, but the president of Harris.
Harris, yeah.
And I was able to cook for him personally, professionally, and everywhere. And he always had filet, top end foods for all his guests. Funny things, he didn't want to smell onion, garlic, so I couldn't cook with any onion and garlic. So I had to be,
that's just not right.
Huh?
He had to be creative.
He didn't want the rooms ever smelling like onion and garlic. When you're doing these conferences and that, you did not want. But always, I had to have chicken nuggets for him in my kitchen.
I remember you telling me that.
Yep. And during, I don't care who, Senator Nelson was also one of his guests, but he'd be breaking away from Senator Nelson, coming in the kitchen, and then his wife would be right behind him. Have you seen him? And I go, went that way, stopped in for his nugs, and went that way. Yeah, people have funny eating habits. I've seen it all. I'm really tired of cooking, though. I always put out on this show all the time, just so everybody knows, I'm not doing any more catering. I'm not cooking anymore. I'm just doing drinks.
Why?
And then as soon as I say that, the phone starts ringing. Just do two more jobs. I've said it on Sita's show. I used to say it on Sita's show, Viewpoint with Sita, which is on Monday, same time slot as us. I'd say, I'm done cooking. I don't want to cook anymore. And I don't. I've been cooking a long time. I started out Hope's Fish and Chips.
Yeah. I wish that place was around.
Middle
gone.
Belt.
Is that gone?
Gone, yeah.
So, yeah, because, I mean, you remember, Mom, we were good Catholic people. We had to have our fish
on
Fridays.
There's still Scotty's over there on 5 Mile and east of Telegram.
See, so that's almost worth flying in for, if it tastes the same.
And they still only take cash?
See, the problem is when I go back, I think of things that I had when I was a child, and I love them so much. And then I go back, and I'm just so disappointed. I go, how did I like this? The only thing, Olga's Kitchen.
There's still Olga's.
And there's an Olga's here.
Do we have Olga's here? Really?
We have one here now in Orlando because I love that whole concept. The whole, Kenny, you might find this interesting. Somebody from Dearborn, Michigan came down here. They're going to open a Coney Island because, there's
a couple, though.
In Michigan, there's Coney Island in every corner. When we go back there, what's the first thing we eat? We got to go to Coney Island.
Right.
There's none in California, right?
There was one. Actually, there was two.
Were they from Detroit?
Yeah.
Yeah. See,
I don't know if the people, one of them was from Detroit.
So why are Coney Islands only famous in Detroit?
Well, people from the East Coast say Coney Island started in Coney Island, but
yeah, they did not.
It's just, first of all, the Greeks started.
The Greeks
started.
Yes.
And, the two famous ones are over 100 years old now, I think. You're close to it.
Which I might say were pretty
National
disgusting.
When we ate in there, we all gathered
in Michigan. Well, I don't know.
And then four days after that, they closed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did.
They closed it.
The health department,
I was glad that we ate there, and then I had to get on a plane, and then the health department closed it.
You walk in there, the place is old, but it's never dirty.
No, it was dirty.
But yeah,
it was looking pretty bad that day.
The one in L.A., right next to the whiskey, and they opened that up.
On Sunset there?
Yeah, right on Sunset. And they had a grand opening, and I went in there, Jerry and I went in there, and it was amazing. There were so many actors in there. that I had no idea they were from Detroit. Oh. And it's like it was like a Detroit club in there.
See, and that's the same thing here because the restaurant was actually called the Detroiter.
Yeah.
And they still have one over in Tampa.
I see them in airports now, the Detroiter bar.
Okay, so you'd think it would work anywhere, but it does not.
It doesn't.
You literally have to have people from Detroit.
Yep.
Because even here, so a friend of mine comes from Dearborn, Michigan. In fact, his mother was the dad worked in the design center at Ford's. And there was a, when you went into his office, if you remember, there was a car on a carousel going around.
In the rotunda.
She was like the Vanna White. She was the person on the car for 30 years. But anyways, they came here, opened to Coney Island, and it did not work at all. And they ended up changing to Tex-Mex.
Yeah, well, I think the Coney Island on Sunset had a little bit of Mediterranean food in it. And then at some point, like, they must not have sold enough Coney dogs or whatever, but they kept Coney's on there as part of the menu. But increase the
But it's the same in Detroit, Kenny, because it started by the Greeks. Now it's all almost 98% Albanian.
Yeah?
Yep. And it is a little bit different. They buy their chili frozen blocks from the same two purveyors.
National chili.
And they put their own spices in. They add their own spices. So they all have a little bit different, but not drastic. I mean, it still tastes like Coney Island chili. But to me, it's similar. Like, one of the best things that you could ever eat in your life,
I think, is
a true Philly cheesesteak, by the way, in Philly, because you cannot get it outside of Philly. And I don't care what anybody says. I've never had anything come even close.
There's a place.
Everybody will say that.
Well, there's a place that in Burbank that guys from Philly have told me.
That's like, always that's where to. But you know how it is, the Omarosa rolls and all these things.
Omarosa.
But even in Philly, there's famous ones like, well, I like Jim's, but the famous Pat's and those ones by the stadium. You know, where the Eagles play and everything. And they're different from the guys downtown, too.
So he calls me from Philly, though.
Yeah.
Guess where I'm at? This is what I'm eating. And I go,
and you have to have
with Wiz or with,
I don't care what anybody
with
says
Wiz
about
or
that.
Without.
You forget about your diet. Forget about anything healthy. Just, you got to order it with Wiz. And I'm telling you, if somebody asked me, if you were going to live three more days, that would be on one of the days that I would eat that.
See, and I could care less. But, you know, here in Brevard, we can't talk about Phillies. Because it's a big controversy on the, you know, eating 3-2-1 because it started like a war.
Really?
Yes. Who has the best Philly? And that's why I say again, it's not the best. It's what you like best.
Well, it goes for steak. I mean,
yeah, but there has to be some place that is the most legit.
Yeah, true.
No.
And that could only be.
That goes for New York bagels. That goes for New York slice. That goes for.
You had a New York bagel today.
Lobster rolls.
How'd you like that bagel?
I like their bagels. Corey's? I like
okay,
their
so now you're from Detroit, where you get your bagels from a Jewish delicatessen.
Yeah.
Okay?
Which are New York style.
They're nothing, because I've seen them cooked and where they're cooked.
I agree.
They're not even, like, the bagels in Detroit are boiled. They're literally still old school, put into water.
Yeah, and they're smaller. They're not like
there
so where
the
it's
outside
like,
is crisp. The insides, we do not have that anywhere here. Nowhere.
Like, I don't need a bagel that's the size of a football.
No, it doesn't need to be big, but it should be cooked correctly.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're not doing that.
Well, Corey's actually says it's in the water too, right? So, but we know where they get theirs from. But I'll tell you what, it's still the best bagel around town, I think.
The best bagel you like.
That I like.
It's the bagel you like. It's by far the best.
Yeah.
Coming from a culinary, how it's cooked is way far from the best bagel.
So, you know, one of the things when we have time, I know Kenny's got to fly back tomorrow, but I keep thinking that in the search of the best burger, and everybody has their own burger place at the lake around. Best burger I've had here is still at the Green Turtle at lunch.
The Green Turtle. Danny, where's the best burger? Tell him.
His
little sister. I got the best burger.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Not if you cook them like Mom did.
No.
Yeah.
Hockey puck burger.
I think Kim became a chef because, well, my mom we were always playing sports and everything, but if the recipe said, cook for 20 minutes at 350, my mom would cook it at 15 minutes at 700, including burgers. She was always in a hurry.
We did have a fire truck.
It didn't matter whether it was meatloaf, burger, or Salisbury steak. It looked like a hockey puck.
That was the day, though, of like meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
Like Dad was like a meat and potatoes guy. We had to be at the dinner table at 6 o'clock every day growing up. A good Catholic family. At the dinner table. It didn't matter if you brought your friends. There was also room, but you had to be, Dad ate at 6 o'clock Every night.
Yeah.
And you were there for dinner. He didn't care if you left, whatever.
I think about all the things, like burnt toast and stuff. Some of the things growing up as a kid. Now, we weren't poor, but I always remember that we used to take tasty bread, put butter on it, put sugar on it. That was like a dessert.
So Lex loves that.
Yeah, that was a dessert.
No, I still
And then
still
I always
like
laugh when, this is a joke, though, but I said to Kim, I go, I said, I never knew that, I didn't think we were ever poor, but I remember we got, you know, we'd take that basket to church, and I would put those yellow wax beans in that I couldn't stand, and peas and stuff that I hated, put the can in that basket, and about 2 hours later, the basket showed up on our front porch.
That is totally not true.
And
do not listen to him.
I think it's not because we were poor. I think because everybody else hated those darn wax beans. They just, take that back wherever it came from.
No, I mean, I didn't really realize. I always liked to eat at restaurants. Like, I always preferred that food. And I didn't realize it until later on that it's because it was much better than the food that we had at home.
But we sure did have a lot of food. Yeah. I look back at the days because I can remember Mom used to spend about $350 a week in groceries. That was like in the 70s.
Yeah.
To feed all
four
your guys.
Four athletes living there, right? Huh? You have four growing athletes there.
And we always had our friends, and I used to come home and say, who's that sleeping on our couch? And I want to see, though, this week, our sponsor, and once again, is Melbourne Seafood Station. There's one near you. Let's just see what their special is this week, because Tuesday's double loyalty points. Need an easy lunch or dinner option? Tuesday's double loyalty points at Melbourne Seafood Station. They've got a family value pack for $39. Wow. $39 feeds four people. 2 pounds of wild red shrimp, linguine, corn, and garlic toast. Key West pink shrimp boiled, $10. Peel and eat Key West pink shrimp, sausage, corn, potatoes, garlic toast. They've got a September special, BOGO, Chesapeake Blue Point oysters. Buy 6, get 12. Buy 12, get 24. With your meal, purchase all you can eat snow crab tomorrow. Hey, lots happening at Melbourne Seafood Station. They still got their awesome $9.95 lunch. So make sure you tell them that what's cooking in the 321 sent you to Melbourne Seafood Station. That really is best value for your money. You got to try. You've been there, I know.
They've got good food, too.
Yeah, it's great food. So I get to lose Kenny tomorrow.
That's right.
You're heading back to California. And now
the neighborhood will come back.
We will rebuild.
The Keith, you're staying.
Yeah, I've got some work to do down here.
I mean, you're staying for a while.
Yeah, for sure, until probably Monday next week.
Oh, that's not a while.
Well, then
I thought you were gonna go back, get your Mercedes, and come on back.
I gotta get a few things and bring it back.
Okay.
He's got a bathroom to tile, so he'll be here through February.
He actually has a lot of people though have been requesting him to do work. I have my honey-do list for him. And that'll keep him busy.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, Kenny, also that you'll come back with Jerry. And we're going to miss our Sherry because we were just going to head out to California. And we were actually going to head to Paris and catch some Paris food.
Paris, Ohio?
You know, a chef should always go to Paris before they end their time and eat food in Provençal.
Food is great there.
Yeah. That's true.
So we were literally just planning a road trip. I am going to take the girls to Mackinac Island.
Hopefully not in the winter.
This is another month when the colors start changing. And it's so beautiful.
They're changing now.
Yeah. I tell everybody that always. I say, you know, I've traveled to all the islands and everything, but nothing's as beautiful. It's like a Monet. A picture Monet.
It is. It is beautiful there for sure.
When the colors are changing in Mackinac. So... Kenny, got some traveling coming up too, or no? Is stuck
no,
in hell?
I don't know. They were talking about flying us out to Comic-Con in New York, I think, in October or November, but I haven't heard anything.
See, that would be very cool. I think you should do our Comic-Con. I have to see if we can afford a real band.
Well, I think the only thing would they'd have to get a slot for us to actually do a performance. We go to New York. Otherwise, like, I'm not going to sit like the San Diego thing and beg people to give them here, take my autograph.
So was there a big lineup to get autographs from you, though?
No, I mean, a lot of people interested.
Yeah.
We didn't really know, people, we were just in a booth, basically.
So that's what we have to do, though. We have to get us all together. Scott is now in North Carolina, so
Biltmore.
We can go check out the food scene in North Carolina. And Keith, I'm sure before the weeks, you're going to be hitting some of your favorite restaurants here.
I'd like to see Scott if he's working this week.
Scott's on 5th. Yeah. Yep, and hopefully he's going to see us tonight. He'd be there, and we should probably do that. We haven't been to Scott's in a while.
Yep, haven't been there.
Scott's on 5th is absolutely one of my favorite restaurants here. I love the glitter on the ceiling and the glitter in the food, and best service ever of anywhere here.
Jalapenos.
How much would you tip them?
You know what?
I stayed at 3%.
Now, see, there you go. Tipping for service. It is the best service. You don't need a menu. When he gives you the menu, there's only maybe, I don't know, 13, 14 dishes on it because they're going to tell you the whole menu. Just as the place in California, yeah, Texaco's. Yeah,
that's a class act there.
They tell you the whole menu. They tell you what's in every dish, like whether it's a butter sauce and wine and whatever, mm-hmm. what pairs mm-hmm. with it wine-wise. You drop your napkin. Let me tell you, before it hits the floor, they're picking up and giving you a new one. Great service, and I absolutely always
this will be interesting tonight at this because that's a fairly new place, right?
So we're
going
to go to, maybe you've heard of it because where Ellen plays, Asada? Asado?
No, I've never heard of it.
So Asado, I believe that's
it's
Argentina.
Argentinian Steakhouse.
Argentinian Steakhouse.
Okay.
And we're
you ever been in one of those?
She's
a gaucho.
No, here but I is. Have. What? So... Gaucho, though, the place like at the mall, is that Argentina or is that Brazilian?
No, it's Brazilian.
Is it like one where they just keep coming at you?
No, that's a Brazilian steakhouse where they come in like in their pirate uniform.
That's like barbacoa, yeah.
So the kids love that, though. The kids have that little, because they give them that little thing where it's like red for stop, green for go, and they'll just put it on green, and then when the guys get close, they change it back over to the red.
See, I can't eat like that anymore. I just...
Well, especially because it's all meat.
Yeah, I'm a carnivore for sure, but I don't order a 22-ounce ribeye anymore. I'll eat like an 8-ounce steak.
Yeah.
I just can't eat that much.
But
me neither.
Because I ate at one, they had a little party at one down in San Diego for Comic-Con that we were there, and it was like, it looks like that end scene of the, what is it, Monty Python, Life of Brian?
Yeah, where the guy blows up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, I don't want to be Brian.
More meat, sir?
More meat, sir, yes.
Just one more bite.
You know, and they do. They keep coming by, and you can absolutely sit there and, you know, Texas, I think it's called Texas to Brazil, I think it's one of the best Brazilian steakhouses we have here. But there, they have the best salad bar, you know, all kinds of salad bars, stuff like that. So I do like the Brazilian steakhouses.
I do want to probably stop and see Dijon one evening.
And your new that beach place.
BB, is that what it is? BB?
I think it's BB, BB something I like that. Well, listen, thanks for joining me and get me through today. Today's a slumber day.
It's not over yet.
Sherry's birthday, and we're going to celebrate that, and we're going to have a great night here before everybody leaves for out of town. So thanks for coming on the show.
Pleasure.
Kenny, hopefully you'll come on because you can actually be on the, as Keith says, the telly. Keith's on the telly, and he does the show with me many times. You said that last time.
Yeah. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Takes an hour of your day. It's all right. Listen, thanks for tuning in to What's Cooking in 321. I'll be back next Tuesday at 1 o'clock.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless.